Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, do you have any tape?
Yep. What do you need? I have duct tape, packing tape, cassette tape, medical tape, electrical tape, masking tape, double-sided tape, or adhesive tape. What do you need it for anyway?
I have a poster I want to put up. All right, it's Monday.
Hey, man.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenahan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And because it's a new week, we're going to take on a new theme. It's a whole theme this week.
Literally, I can see you rolling your sleeves up right now, Jim. Like, we're going to get into this.
We are.
There's a lot of work to do.
We are doing it.
Yeah.
So here's what happened.
Tell us.
One time, actually, I know the date. It was March 1st. I see it right here on my on our Facebook page, on the Rockin' the Suburbs Facebook page. I heard the song Walk Like an Egyptian.
Yes.
You know the song. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that song.
Yeah, and you were tripping on LSD.
I may or may not have been. Mm-hmm. I refuse to answer that question. But I thought to myself, this is a kind of a weird song. It is weird in a lot of ways, but one of the ways it's weird is that if you listen to like the whole of the Bangles work, that was their big hit, but it doesn't really sound much like their other songs.
It doesn't represent the Bangles sound.
It doesn't,
like, I totally agree.
Right.
When I think of the Bangles, that's the last song I think of.
Right. But that was their big hit song, right? I mean, they had some other hits, Manic Monday and so on, but that was the big hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, as a lark, put up on our Facebook page, name a band whose big hit song is not a good representation of their work.
Just throwing it out there.
And we got so many comments on this thing.
It blew up, man.
So it was a good question. It was a good provocative question, I think.
Smart.
And so then we got all these comments, and then I thought, well, we can build some shows around this. This is good stuff. So all this week, we're going to take different listener suggestions.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about one band each day this mm-hmm. week, right?
I got stuff to say.
Misunderstood bands, I guess is how you would describe
this,
right?
One sense, right? Misrepresented, you know, to the general populace, of course, but there are those of us who were really into certain bands, like, say, I don't know, Soul Asylum.
Right. So that was another band, I think, that came to people's minds right away.
Right away.
Was Soul Asylum, and they had kind of a big hit song in the early 90s, early to mid 90s, right?
Yeah, I'm literally cringing as I think of it. Runaway train.
Yeah, so Runaway Train.
There it is.
The album was Grave Dancers Union. That was 1992.
Mm-hmm.
So remember at the time that this would have been right after Nirvana's Nevermind.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like that album sort of just like, you know, created the space for all these quote unquote alternative bands to then, you know, sell huge amounts of records. And Soul Asylum, which had been around for a while,
actually signed with A&M, a major label, in 88. So they actually signed, like, sort of in the Husker Du wave.
That's right.
Right, major label. You know, there was a mini wave there, right, where a couple of bands like Husker Du and Meat Puppets and a few other bands, you know, signed to major labels. So they were kind of in that wave.
Soul Asylum, they saw an opportunity here.
Yeah.
They saw an opening, and they're like, we're going for it.
That's right.
And Grave Dancers Union sold a lot of records. And
three times platinum, according to the internet.
There you go. I think that's a good example. It came to both of our minds,
mm-hmm.
the Soul Asylum example. And we'll talk more about the band a little bit. But let's get to an email we got from BJ Bonin. So BJ attached an MP3 that he recorded to talk about Soul Asylum. So let's hear him first, and then, you know, you and I can dissect this band a little bit.
Hi there, this is BJ Bonin from St. Paul, Minnesota. Soul Asylum. Yes, everyone knows Runaway Train from Grave Dancers Union. That song is just not representative of the rest of their body of work, even though there are songs on that same record that are. Shove, for example, is. Compared to their earlier material, the best way of putting it is to have you know, you wish success on bands that you like, especially local bands. And then after seeing the success of Runaway Train, your thought is, no, not that. You know, Shove would have been fine, but no, you know, not Runaway Train. And that's a song that they're best remembered for. Shove is a lot more representative of what the band's bass line is. In a world frozen over with overexposure, let's talk it over, let's go out and paint the town. I'm waiting by the phone, waiting for you to call me up and tell me I'm not alone. Cause so to take it back from there, I was introduced to this band in the late 80s through local college and public radio stations, Left of the Dial and all that. They were closely related and kind of followed in the footsteps, not even the footsteps, it sounds like they're gone, the shadows, the direct shadows of Husker Du and the Replacements and the, you know, the other bands that were around at the time. And you can hear a lot of influence in the early material from other SST bands like the Meat Puppets the Minutemen. My all-time favorite song from this band is Freaks off of While You Were Out, 1986. That's a really good record. It's kind of ragged. It's a indie thing. It wasn't a major label. Just really good record. But Freaks is the best song out of that record. It is unbelievable. However, there are more songs on that record. Closer to the Stars is another good one. No Man's Land is fantastic. And then the melancholy glory of Passing Sad Daydream at the end of that record is just amazing and goes over really well live. The album that came after While You Were Out is Hang Time, which is my favorite record. I put that record up against anything else that's out there. It, you know, might not be my, you know, island record that I would take with me on a desert island type of thing. That'd be Copper Blue by Sugar. Didn't have to think long about that. Anyway, Hang Time is just amazing. Start to finish, really good. It's got a little bit of everything. The best tracks on that are Sometime to Return, Cartoon, Marionette, and then another strong track is Standing in the Doorway, and the fun track at the end that you can hear Meat Puppets influence is Twiddly D. Gotta listen to that. Just love this record. This record, when I heard that, blew me away. There's it's just good, strong to finish. It sounds good on a cassette. Car driving music out into the frozen wastes of Minnesota, northern Minnesota in the winter. What appealed to me more than Husker Du, even though Husker Du is, in terms of songwriting, is my favorite band of that era, is that they switched it up. They were able to put something like a Twiddly D out there, which is a really goofy song. They were able to change a time signature like they do at Freaks. That's a messed up time signature at the start of Freaks. Just fun to listen to and fun to play. I mean, the counter melodies that go on in Cartoon, it's just so good. But they're, you know, they're not afraid to speed it up and slow it down. And to that extent, Runaway Train isn't that far from what they normally do, what they were doing at the time. They weren't afraid to change things up. But it's just one of those things where you it's like, no, not that one. They're a good band, but why that? 1990s horse they rode in on has spinning. There's another one. They didn't change a time signature on that one, but it's really syncopated. It's really a good song. And Gullible's Travels is in 6/8. You don't hear that. You don't hear that out of too many grunge bands of that of 1990, 91. Oh, it's just, I just really like this band a lot. I've seen them many times. The worst part I think about having a band like this where, you know, run around to see them at the 7th Street Entry or something like that back in the day and have them get their big success that they deserve, the hardest part is having to share them with people who don't know Passing Sad Daydream and could really care less because they want to hear Runaway Train. And it's just disappointing. Sometimes you just got to, you know, nod your head and realize that, yep, they've got success now and you're not going to be able to see them in the small show, in the small venues anymore. And that's just the way it goes. And it's not as fun seeing bands that, I mean, let's quote Morrissey here. You hate it when your friends become successful. But anyway, back to the music here. You know, if you listen to Shove off of Grave Dancers Union, you listen to Just Like Anyone off of Dim Light Shine.
She walks into the outhouse. The cold night breathes into her face. The flies are standing still now. The moon, it spills through the place. And she starts wondering what it's like to be.
That is a more direct lineage from Freaks and Dirt off of While You're Out or Spinning. And then, you know, Sometime to Return and Cartoon and Doorway from Hang Time. So it's, you know, all it is the one song that just drives me crazy. And that's the one song everyone knows. So anyway, love the podcast. Hope this works better than a phone because I'm sure it sounds better. All right. Take care and cheers.
What a great
message. BJ was expressing himself there, Jim, and that means a lot to me. He got around the EPJ trap and with a clever move and just really sent us a piece of art. He's an artist. That's all I have to say. He's an artist.
Yes.
Who's obviously really passionate about a certain band.
I like this trend that we have where people are recording little MP3 files and sending it
to us.
Keep
that going.
So that's good. We really appreciate that.
The
that's
more
great.
You guys can mix songs in, that would help us too.
Okay. I know you have a lot about Soul Asylum. I know
I have
you're
some
a big
things.
Fan.
I'm a huge fan.
I'll just get a couple things out and then I can hand it over to you. So first of all, I agree with his assessment. I came into the band in the late 80s, not the Twin Tone stuff, but I guess the A&M record stuff. Yep. So the Hang Time album.
Yeah.
And that was when I was in college. And one of my roommates, this must have been Andrew, he hung up in our apartment a poster. This was like right above the dining room table, kitchen table, whatever. The main table where we would eat, where we would have food. Right above that on the wall, a poster of the Hang Time album cover.
Yep.
But it was like gigantic. It was like one of those big, big ones that you'd have in a record store, right? You know what I mean?
Like they were put in the front plate glass window or something.
Yes, huge. Yeah. It was enormous. And so it's one of my actually great memories of college that we had this giant poster of a Soul Asylum album hanging up there. I just thought that was so cool. And that album cover is like dangling feet.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
It's called Hang Time.
That's very cool.
Yes. So there's that. I love that record a lot. That album, that record is really, really good. And so I'm with BJ on that. And, you know, Sometime to Return and Cartoon are both really great songs. There are a lot of other really good ones there.
Yeah.
And Sometime to Return also, you got to remember too, at this time, you couldn't like Google lyrics and stuff like that.
No.
And so you can do it now. So I'm looking at it now. But I always wondered, I'm like, what is he really saying right there?
Throw away your calendar and sign up yourself, man. Get up and get up.
saddle up your salamander? Like, that always stood out to me because it was like one of those lines where you hear it and you think, I must be mishearing it. And then later
Can't
you find out
be that.
No, that's what he was saying. Saddle up your salamander. So anyway,
it's really funny.
So love that stuff. And then I got and the horse they rode in on, which has that song Spinning, which is great. Mm-hmm. And Easy Street mm-hmm. is also on there, and several others that they just to me had. They were closer to me to the Replacements than to Husker Du.
Yes. Totally agree.
But
with
in
that.
The sense of the sort of, you know, drawing maybe more on sort of like traditional classic rock kind of stuff but creating it with like a new sort of like youthful energy and kind of getting back to what rock and roll was supposed to be. I guess I wasn't smart enough to realize the different time signatures and stuff like that. I just like the songs.
Yeah.
But I really like them a lot. And so then when he's talking about Shove, that's Somebody to Shove. I remember when that song came out, I'm pretty sure that was the first single off of Grave Dancers Union before Runaway Train and Black Gold was the other one. And I remember Somebody to Shove just having that awesome guitar riff, you know, and just that sound and everything was great.
I remember that
it just
song.
Had so much energy. Yeah. I was like, cool, another record. This is going to be great. This is going to be so awesome. And Runaway Train, I'm not going to say it's a bad song, but it just feels like it no longer has that same kind of spirit to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, my friend Andrew, I'm pretty sure on this, correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, but I'm pretty sure you were the one who said this, that he said, it sounds like a Bon Jovi song. So there you go. And then that's their big hit song. Mm-hmm. That was a huge hit song.
Massive hit song.
And so
man.
I kind of see what he's saying too, what BJ's saying too, about how you can become sort of disappointed and almost sort of deflated when a band that you truly love, and in some ways you would love it if other people would love that band.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the reason they love it is because of a song that you think is not their best effort.
No,
right?
Literally, there was joy, sadness, and hope in that song, and I loved it. Yeah.
All right, so that's my Soul Asylum.
No, that's great. Thing. Yeah, and I'm going to come at it from the totally other side. Like, when I discovered Soul Asylum, it was at a time when I had an insatiable thirst with a few other people in this planet, you know, to like discover new bands. And like, if you can outdo your friend and find a more obscure band that's even cool, like that's great. And so we were really into the Replacements, and kind of one level down on the same label, there was Soul Asylum.
Right.
Right. So we found them and loved them. And, you know, they had the first EP, Say What You Will. It was kind of more Husker Du influenced, I think. Then when they made Made to Be Broken in 1986, Jim, this is a beautiful record because to me, it combines the Replacements with Neil Young. And that was just magic to me. Like, what a fantastic record.
Yep,
you know, that's kind of like, you know, where I really fell in love with that band. And you know, they had some country songs on there. And While You Were Out, of course, Freaks. That's just an unbelievable song, you know? Mm-hmm. We should spend like a minute listening to it right now.
So, interesting thing about that song, I said Soul Asylum was maybe closer to the Replacements than Husker Du, but that one sounds more like Husker Du.
It really does,
right?
Yeah, yeah. You can definitely hear the Zen Arcade influence in that song, right? The way the guitar riffs kind of rise and fall.
And just his vocal delivery even sounds like it, right?
Right.
And Bob Mould produced two of their albums.
He did.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's another tie. So they're definitely rooted in Minneapolis, you know, definitely influenced by what was happening around that time. And then some of their slower songs, like I said, I totally hear Neil Young, like the mid-70s stuff, like Tonight's the Night and On the Beach and all that, you know, amazing Zuma, like all that stuff. But, you know, kind of where you guys picked it up, or you picked it up, Jim, and you know, Hang Time is where I kind of started to feel a little bit weird. I started to kind of look over my shoulder and say, what are these? Like, the guitar sounds really quiet, you know, compared to the old albums. And then, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say I can't stand Runaway Train. It's the worst song in the world, man. Like, I know it's not a radical statement coming from anybody, but, you know, eventually, Jim, they were so popular, they played at the White House.
Like, they did.
That happened.
Well, what happened was they did a cover. I'm not exactly sure how this happened, but they ended up doing a cover of Don't Stop.
By Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
Oh.
Which was was Bill Clinton's sort of like campaign theme
That's
song,
it.
Remember?
You got it. Mm-hmm.
So they played at like Clinton events. Oh. And then I think maybe later played after he was already inaugurated, or maybe his inauguration or something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They sort of carried
that
over.
As a reward to like, hey, you helped us out. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So they would play that. But let me ask you this. I mean, Runaway Train, though, I think even though it was really popular at the time, it is I don't know how many songs like this exist in rock history. There's probably some other examples of this. But it ultimately was, I think, a credibility killer for a band. And
totally.
And meant that,
well said,
that people didn't, whatever goodwill they had established with their fans to that point seemed like it was all gone.
That's how I felt.
It was all gone.
Yeah, you just described me. Yeah.
And they never got it back.
No. Nope.
They never did.
It just got worse. Because next thing you know, he's like going out with Winona Ryder.
Right.
You're like, really? Pierner? Come on, dude.
And it might have been a great like short-term play, but it was a terrible long-term play.
Terrible.
The band just sort of fell off a cliff pretty shortly after that.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Well said. And, you know, Dan Murphy played with Golden Smog and became sort of a really good, solid lead guitar player in Minneapolis. And Carl Mueller, the bass player, unfortunately died. Left the planet way too early. So, you know, we hope he's resting in power. But overall, you know, there is a flip side and a heads and a tails to Soul Asylum. And I think you put it really well. I mean, I was much more on the early punk Husker Du replacements Neil Young side.
I think to people who only know the band from maybe that point on or know that song, it's almost like unfathomable to them that they were cool once.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it just completely changed their whole reputation.
Totally agree. Yep.
Right. So, all right.
Sad,
well,
but true. Because they were a great band. I'm just going to lay down and weep for a little while.
Okay. I know what I was going to ask. So here's what I was going to ask though.
Okay.
Did the song change though the way you feel about the earlier work?
No.
Okay. So you still could go back and listen to the Twin Tone albums, things like that, and still recognize those for what they are,
totally,
what they were.
But yes, it didn't bother me.
Okay.
You know, I understood what they were trying to do and they were gonna go for it. And, you know, I'd seen it before. And, you know, it was just like, you said, hey, pour one out for these guys. Right? They're done.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, thanks very much. That was a good one. Because I think Soul Asylum, I think in some ways it just really completely changed the way people view that band. And I always wondered that, sort of like, does it even just, is it one of those that sort of retroactively makes you think differently of the band too? You know, there aren't that many cases. You often hear, or we talk about bands that like sell out, but often they do that in a way that sustains their career past where it may have dropped off. Mm-hmm. This is a weird case where I think it actually kind of like hurt them.
Yeah. In history, right?
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
You're right. Bad, bad long-term play.
Okay.
I think we figured that out.
All right. I hope so.
Thank you,
BJ. I hope
BJ.
I worked that out of my system. But I still really did like that poster hanging up on the wall.
It was a cool album cover. That brings back
good memories to me.
Cool album cover.
All right. So what are we going to do? Tomorrow, we're going to talk about another band.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So this thread really blew up. Like,
totally.
Not just because it was like viral. It was like some really interesting thoughts.
People really had some good suggestions here. We're going to get into more of them.
We're geeking out this week, people.
The rest of the week. So very quickly, we'll just get through this stuff. You know, I mentioned We're going to be back tomorrow, so that means you should listen.
Every day.
Every day, and you should please subscribe, rate and review. Nobody's been rating and reviewing us lately, and it would be really nice if you would.
And no one's twisting your arm, but God,
you know, I hope we don't have
people.
I hope we don't have to sell out to
please.
Make that happen.
Right.
And also, you know, we could do this again sometime. So if you have thoughts on a band that is not well represented by their hit song, you could call 612-440-1984. Leave a message. Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com. If you want, you can attach an audio file.
That'd be amazing. Like if you had,
just talk.
Yeah, if you had something to say about like Six Finger Satellite, you could do that.
Sure. And then, and another way you could also reach us is through the social medias of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all at Suburbs Pod. So there you go.
Yep.
Did we decide who we're going to talk about tomorrow yet? Or should we leave that a mystery?
Yeah, I think we're going to flip a coin here in a
minute. Let's leave that a mystery. Okay.
Cool.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See ya.
A sweet scent of discontent rising in the air. You don't get old, you just get passive, and then you stand and stare. Hey, nobody's keeping you from stopping. Like a plug without a socket, your finger trigger's itching, but she forgot to cock it. And I think things turned out the way you thought they would be. No, you can't take that out on me. If we can find a better way, then I am standing in your way.
Yeah, but I'm a terribly sick individual and I have a lot of records.